Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Boy, NFL playoffs this weekend.
That's right, baby.
And our resident Buffalo Bills fan, Scott Jagow from the KMOX newsroom, is in to gloat or whatever.
I'm not gloating before the game. I do believe there are some media members, national media members, and maybe Ravens fans who are already gloating about this game. I have seen a lot.
That's going to be
overconfident.
Really?
That's going to be a really. If it's not a great game, I'll be stunned.
Who was the mayor that like gloated a little too early one time? Oh, what sports team?
Well,
has a mayor?
Happens all the time.
Well,
really,
mayors always gloat.
Yeah,
before.
They're always like, let's bet chicken wings versus pasta or whatever.
Is the mayor of Baltimore gloating?
Crab cakes in this case.
Is it? So it's crab cakes versus buffalo wings.
I mean, I think that's. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, I got to give it to Wings on this.
Yeah, I think so.
I have to. I love crab cakes, though.
Crab cakes are, I'm not a big crab cakes guy, but
I understand they're fantastic.
Them. I understand the appeal of them.
That's so why I'm in the room with two big crabs right now.
I've got a real problem with you. On KMOX this weekend, we do have the Chiefs game, which is tomorrow.
Right.
They're going to have their playoff game in the afternoon. 3:30 is the kick. So your Bills will play on Sunday. And I have stopped by. I know Matt Pajeski has stopped by the Shamrock, which is where all the Buffalo Bills fans in St. Louis. And one of the things I love is when there is a designated bar for an out-of-town team.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a Bears bar. Felix is in Dogtown is a Bears bar. I think there are a few Packers bars.
Sure, yeah.
I love that. I love that there are these transplants that they all go to one place to watch their team play, whether it's an NFL team or a college team. I love that environment. So getting to see all the Bills fans at the Shamrock was a few weeks ago. That was fun. That was really, really cool to see all that.
How does a bar like the Shamrock become a Bills bar?
If nobody's doing it, they will reach out to the teams, will they not?
No, what
in
happened?
In some cases, they do.
In this case, we were at a different bar called Buku in Soulard. Mm-hmm. It's right across from Budweiser. Unfortunately, in the third week of the season in 2022, they closed right after the game on Sunday.
Oh.
Forever.
Oh.
Wow.
So we had a week to find a new place to go. And our El Presidente, as we call him, Jake, he had a connection to Shamrock, and he went over there and asked them, and they were like, sure, come on in. And they have been unbelievable to us. They import, as you saw, they import hot dogs from Buffalo, Salins. They have a hot dog bar set up.
Yeah.
They have Labatt on tap, two taps of Labatt.
That's the Buffalo beer,
kind of
right?
Buffalo
because
beer.
It's right across from Canada.
Yeah, it's Canadian, but, you know, blue and blue light. That's what people drink in
Is
Buffalo.
Is it Labatt blue or Labatt blue?
Well, it's just blue.
Yeah, it's just blue. Don't worry about it, Amy.
But it would be Labatt. It's not Labatt.
Well, I hear Labatt blue from the hockey games that I watch, you know.
Labatt's, and there's something heavy about it. But anyway.
But they have a light beer, which is pretty good, too.
It is. Yeah, they do have a light. That's good. I thought it was, I love that. And, you know, I'm sure there are, like, Notre Dame bars in the city. And a lot of times what will happen, especially with colleges, because I've got friends right now who own an Alabama bar in Chicago, and they actually have representatives from the university every game day who will come and hand things out. So I know that, and it will be like the official bar of that college or that team. I think that stuff is, I love it. It's great. And it's another reason that I love it is knowing that there are people from somewhere else who live here.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because we're not really a cosmopolitan city, so when you find out, hey, there's a bunch of Cincinnati natives mm-hmm. who live here, or Buffalo natives, I like that.
It's a mixture for us. Most of the people that are there are from the Buffalo area, but there are also St. Louisans who have become Bills fans after the Rams left.
Yeah.
And they chose a team, you know, through friends, or they just picked a team that needs pulling for and hasn't won a Super Bowl. So the Bills fit that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's right. And,
yeah, they've never won.
It's a good, if you're going to bandwagon, if you're going to jump on, Bills would be a fun one to jump on to.
And we are at like 120 people a week for these big games.
Wow.
120.
You'll be a little more crowded, I bet, on Sunday. So enjoy that. Also, you went to the Neon Museum.
Yes, I did. Thanks to Frank Ladd for that tip. The Neon Museum of St. Louis is at Shodo and Grand, right next to the Rallies. Hamburgers, of course. It used to be an old It used to be an old motorcycle shop. The late husband of the founder of the museum ran the motorcycle shop, and now she runs the Neon Museum. She's a sculptor. Her name is Deborah, and she has some wonderful things in there. It's a combination of history and art and character. It's got, of course, it's got a Route 66. It's on the old Route 66, so it's got a vibe of that. There's an old Schnuck sign that was used in a commercial in 1983. There's an old sign from a nightclub in Lake of the Ozarks. And then there's contemporary art pieces. But what binds them all is mostly neon or plasma. And it's beautiful.
You know, it's funny. I just heard about the Neon Museum this week. I didn't know it was there. And I'm a super dork for neon signs. I love them. And if I go to a city and there's like an old-timey neon sign, I'll always take a picture of it. Pratzel's Deli in Clayton, mm-hmm. where I get knishes. They have a neon sign. And I'll just like take a picture of it and post it on Instagram just because I love neon signs. I don't know what it is. There's something so nostalgic about it. I need to go to this museum because it seems like a lot of fun.
It is, and they do special events. They have one about clocks coming up, and you can go visit it in the evenings. Mm-hmm. That's the time to go. I did it during the day. It was still cool, but you know, at night it's going to look totally different with the lights. And there's you can actually hear the neon. There's a little exhibit that an artist has done where he connected the neon to a meter that pulses the frequencies. So you can hear it. Sounds like
that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of little stuff like that. There's a kaleidoscope. You know, put your head in there and take some cool pictures. It's fun. It's just fun.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's, I know that we spend a lot of time crapping all over the city. and the city deserves quite a bit of it, but there are very cool things. Events, buildings, businesses, whatever, in St. Louis.
I'll qualify that. We weren't crapping on the city. We're crapping on city leadership because there are so many businesses restaurants. Yeah, I get what you mean, but I'm trying to be be positive.
Right, but also we not just leadership. I think people crap on the city as it is in the region.
But there are so many cool things.
And a lot of it you have to go find, and that's why segments like yours are great.
Yeah, and that's why I started it in the first place, because I heard some sort of negative talk from people mm-hmm. who have been here a long time, like, you know, there's not much to do in St. Louis. Well, that's definitely not true. I'm well over 100 places now within 2 years and a few months. And I keep finding more places. I don't think I'm going to run out the way it's going so far. I'm just going to keep going. But, you know, I do it organically. So I found out there was, I think it was an article written about the Neon Museum. So that was probably what prompted me. Frank sent it to me. So, but then other times I'll just drive by a place, or a friend will tell me about a place, or I don't have a list. I'm not going down a checklist. I just organically find places that are cool.
That's the thing, that there are so many places. Which isn't unique to St. Louis. This happens everywhere, where there might be a business nondescript. You drive by it, dozens of times, never think twice about it. And then you find out that inside there's something really cool, and you finally go in and think, how did I not know about this?
Right.
There are so many of those places you found.
Yeah, one of them that I think about is it's actually on Shodo, not far from the Neon Museum. It was a stained glass place. It's still there. I drove by it a million times, and then somebody pointed out, hey, I want to go in there. And I was like, what? And the stained glass place. Wow. And then I ended up calling the guy, and he was really nice, and I went over there, and it was fascinating. It was beautiful artwork. And so stuff like that, there are so many places like that. You just drive by them. That's why I like to walk. So when I go to a neighborhood, like I did something on Maplewood, I walked. I did not drive around Maplewood. I walked. And that's when you see all the little places that you miss while you're driving by.
So you've got that, your visit to the Neon Museum, Three Good Things, chat with Stu Mack, all of that Sunday?
That's always on Sunday mornings with Hancock and Kelly and Tom Ackerman on sports and Johnny Rabbit from 6:30 to 9:30.
Who did Stu talk to somebody? I just...
Yeah, actually, that's what I'm going to play this week.
Yeah.
So it's a former executive for the St. Louis Cardinals football team and the Rams' greatest show on turf.
Because?
Because this is the 25th anniversary this week of the first
home
NFL home game in the city of St. Louis, which is a little bit of a bittersweet thing since they're not here anymore. But it's still a important anniversary, and it's playoff time for football.
January 30th is the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl win here for the Rams. So we're going to be celebrating that when the 30th rolls around in that week leading up to it.
25 years.
It's nuts, right?
Feels like if you said it's been 10 years, I would have said, wow, yeah.
I remember I watched the Super Bowl. I was in college, watched at my friend's house. He had a little Super Bowl party, and his dog walked up to the table that's in front of the couch. Why can't I think
coffee
of the name
table?
Of coffee table? Good God. I couldn't think of a coffee table. I'm losing it. Walked up to the coffee table where all the food was and peed all over it.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the Super
On
Bowl.
On the food?
Peed all over it. And Muller, that damn dog.
My God.
Rest in peace. We didn't
you
kill him then.
Him?
Not then. Not that they wait. He died later.
Well, he deserved it.
He died
all
later.
Over the Super Bowl food.
We didn't kill him. No, we didn't kill him right then.
I know. I'm just kidding.
We waited so he didn't know what it was about.
Yeah, no,
just kidding. All right.
You followed him down the hall, and then you.
What did I do? It was two years later. Like, remember the Super Bowl? No, he died of he died of natural causes.
Yeah, natural to his line of work.
All right. Sunday, Scott Jagow, Three Good Things, Roaming St. Louis, chat with Stu Mack. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Jagow from the KMOX
Go Bills.
Newsroom. Go Bills. Well, now it's go Chiefs. We're the home of the... Sorry,
home
man.
Home of the Chiefs.
We're the home of the Chiefs, and their playoff game is tomorrow. We will talk to Danan Hughes, who is the Chiefs radio analyst and former receiver. He's next on KMOX. Well, I may have lied. We lied.
So this is the
it's
second
not
time
our fault.
We've lied.
Yeah, well, it's not our fault.
It's not our fault.
We were just notified of this, but Danan Hughes is not able to join us today.
He has a previous engagement.
He has a luncheon or something.
I think it's a playoff luncheon.
A playoff thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he can't be a part of the show today, so he's out.
Do you think that he got in trouble from our conversation last week when we were talking about the thermostat and his wife and happy wife, happy life, and then he started saying, I bought this house!
Well, he would have only gotten in trouble from her.
But maybe she said no radio. No radio, not with Chris and Amy.
Nah, he's getting paid, I think. Is he?
I don't know.
Speaking of not getting paid, we're going to, starting on January 27th, what? What?
Just a hard left turn there.
Starting on January 27th, we are going to have Chris Siliza as a weekly contributor to the show. He'll be with us every Monday at 11 o'clock, a week from this Monday, we'll get started. And we should tell you about Monday because we had been lying to you for a few days about us being at winter warm-up on Monday.
Yeah.
We're not going to be at winter warm-up on Monday. We lied.
No, well, first of all, it's not a lie if you believe it. And we believed it.
We did believe it.
Because
that's true.
We were told by the authorities. Our authorities. Yeah, not the feds. But we were told by our authorities that we were going to be at winter warm-up. What happened is the inauguration is in Eastern time, and we live in Central time, and that means our inauguration coverage
starts at 10. So 10 to noon-ish will be inauguration coverage. Donald Trump will be reassuming office on Monday.
Yeah.
Tom Ackerman will actually be at winter warm-up on Monday morning starting at 9. And I believe we've got programming, not I believe, I know for a fact, we have programming all weekend from Cardinals Nation at Ballpark Village tomorrow and Sunday.
Hours and hours of it.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of people there hosting. And then it'll be Ackerman 9 to 10 Monday morning. We've got inauguration coverage from 10 till about noon. And then Amy and I will jump on right after the inauguration coverage ends.
So like noon to 1, then we do the 1 o'clock Glover Hour per use.
So that's it.
My idea, Ron, because Monday is a big day, big day. You have winter warm-up, final day of winter warm-up. Obviously, MLK Day, celebrating MLK Day, the inauguration, and the football national championship game, the college football national championship game. So I thought, let's make that hour an hour of celebration. Dedicate 15 minutes to each of those four events.
That's what we're doing.
Celebrate. If you have any ideas, like should we do tequila shots or, you know, what should we do to celebrate?
Tequila shots?
It's only an hour.
During the show?
Well, if you do a shot every 15 minutes for an hour, we will be getting off the air just in time, I think.
Just in time for us to
go on the Glover show?
It? Yeah.
Anyway, if you have any ideas, I just think we should make it a fun celebration Monday.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
There's just stuff going on.
Text us at 314-436-7900. Voice messages on the Odyssey app, if you're listening to us there, which you should have it on your phone. You can listen live anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's a button that you can push and record a message and send it to us, and you might get to hear it on the air. So that's an option for you. We are on Twitter. At Chris Amy KMOX. Mm-hmm. We want you to follow us. We're on Instagram too. Same deal. At Chris Amy KMOX.
So, you know how we were talking about today is warm. I mean, my goodness, right now it's almost 50 degrees. I have that it's 48 degrees downtown. And then the polar vortex is going to hit. And over the weekend, the highs will be, my goodness, I think Sunday, 17 degrees. We'll have single digits on the lows. Apparently, this polar vortex is hitting millions of people across the country. So Fox Weather said, or Fox News has a story about the polar vortex to blast millions across the U.S. with life-threatening cold, which sounds pretty serious, but I think it just means it's dangerously cold if you're outside. Minneapolis has a high of -3 degrees on Sunday.
And so this is a thing that maybe, all right, if you've got a driveway or a sidewalk or something that has been ice packed and covered, this is a very good day to take care of that.
Some would say the only day.
It's a great day to do it today. If it hasn't been done already, get it done. It should be easy because of its the warmer temperatures. And then, as Amy said, it's going to get much, much colder. So you need to know that.
Yep.
Again, winter warm-up starts tomorrow. Ballpark Village and Busch Stadium. Cardinals Caravan starting today, actually. We're going to talk to Mike Claiborne in just a little bit. He is going to join the show, and we'll talk about winter warm-up. We'll talk about the football playoff that Amy mentioned. We'll ask him about the Chiefs, his thoughts on the NFL playoffs.
And we need to hear from you at 12:30, because the Cubs are doing their little fan fest, too.
Yeah, theirs starts today, the Cubs convention.
And they are bringing back Sammy Sosa, who had to apologize for doing drugs, and then they brought him back.
I have some thoughts on that, because Mark McGwire, you know, he did an apology years ago, and for people who were too young to remember, which I doubt anybody listening was, but if you were too young to remember, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were involved in one of the most exciting summer-long events that have ever happened in baseball, and of course, the steroid thing came out later, you know, the HGH and whatever. And so both of them were ostracized from the game for a while. Well, McGuire was welcomed back into the Cardinals family.
Yeah.
You know, and he made an apology about everything he had done. I don't think he had to apologize. Well, for Sosa, he has been prevented from being a part of the Cubs organization for years. Like the new ownership has said to him, you cannot come back and do anything. Can't be at the ballpark. Can't be part of our festivities. We're not inviting you to anything. We're not acknowledging you until you apologize for what you've done.
He was excommunicated
in the summer of 1998 and after. And I think that is ridiculous.
Well,
I think those two guys owe no apologies to anybody.
So we want to hear, who would you like to have back at a winter warm-up type event?
Yeah.
I might throw some hockey players in there as well. But yeah, like... Or your thoughts. Do you think Sammy Sosa needed to apologize? Would you have
Or McGuire? He need to?
Yeah.
Which he did, but I don't think he needed to apologize to anybody.
Has McGuire been to a winter warm-up?
I don't know. I'm assuming.
Right, because he's been involved with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
At any rate, who would you want to see at a winter warm-up? Who would you want to see at any type of fan fest? Come back to St. Louis, maybe someone you haven't seen in a long time. And what do you think about Sammy Sosa? Should he have apologized? Leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. We can hit those at 12:30.
The Cardinals put McGuire in their Hall of Fame, what, 8 years ago now?
Was it?
So they have acknowledged him as they should. He was back in the game of baseball. I think it's nuts that... that the Cubs did what they did to Sammy Sosa. So, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji. When we come back, Mike Claiborne will join the show. Again, we'll talk about all of the sports stuff happening this weekend, including winter warm-up, next on KMOX.
Now, holding court with Claves, with Chris and Amy on KMOX.
It is Friday after 11:30, which means we talk to our guy, Mike Claiborne, who is part of the Cardinals broadcast on KMOX. We're getting closer and closer to baseball season. You can hear all of the baseball action on the Odyssey app. Download it to your phone. And if you're in the listening area, you can listen for free to Cardinals baseball right there with your phone or your tablet. You can even, if you've got one of those smart devices in your home, like... Alexa, you could say, hey, Alexa, play KMOX, and she'll do it for you because she's a nice lady. It is Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ronji. Time to bring in Claibs, who is with us now on the eve of winter warm-up, on the start of Cardinals Caravan. What's happening, Claibs?
Well, I'm happy to report I got my mail.
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
So think about it. I didn't get my mail until Saturday. And the mail carrier who I saw, listened to the show that day and said, and apparently everybody else in the post office is listening as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm happy to report I have my mail. And you're right, we have the winter warm up this weekend. And it's really the official start of the baseball season because now everything is moving forward.
Yeah.
We're
so,
looking forward to the winter warm up.
Let this be
like
a lesson.
It's like a homecoming.
Yeah.
It's like a homecoming, and guys are seeing each other they haven't seen all season. Fans will have a chance to come out. We're going to have better weather than what they're predicting. And next thing you know, we'll be at spring training, and we'll watch some guys play catch for a couple of days, and we'll be playing games before you know it.
So were the people at the post office mad?
They were amused.
They were thinking we better get our act together because.
Well, no, I didn't call out anybody. I just thought that like the system wasn't working, and the way it was explained to me because of the weather and the snow, and you know, obviously we need to get some practice in on removal of snow here in St. Louis, whether it's the city or the county or wherever. We got to get some practice in. That was one of the reasons why.
Yeah, so, a friend of mine.
But I'm good. I got all my ID and all my other information back, so I'm ready to take on the world.
So this either happened because you filed your complaint on the show last week, or because I filed a complaint with my buddy who was a postal worker, and I said, listen, if you don't get Claibs his mail, I'm going to lose it. And he said, you know what his response was? He goes, that's not my territory, but I'll see what I can do.
Wow. So,
well, you know what? I appreciate your help.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time I've ever said thank you to you.
Well,
wow.
You've done nothing else to, I mean,
to earn it.
Mike?
So thank you. All these years I've known you, I think this is the first time I've ever been in debt to you.
I just think you've forgotten about those debts.
Don't you get
involved.
I got a pretty good memory. Okay. No, I'm good. You haven't done anything.
So we were just talking about, winter warm-up is this weekend, obviously, and this is the time that we're finally getting a taste of baseball. Spring training is a little bit less than a month away. So this is that time to get ready for Cardinals baseball. And we were talking about the Cubs convention because Sammy Sosa is going to be there. And the Cubs, for years, have not allowed him to be part of any of their festivities because of the whole, performance-enhancing drugs thing.
Right.
And they have told him that you cannot come back until you apologize for all of that. Meanwhile, Mark McGwire has been a part of the Cardinals organization. They let him in the Hall of Fame back in 2017. What are your thoughts on that? Did McGwire owe the Cardinals, the fan base, an apology? Did Sosa owe the fan base and the Cubs an apology?
That's a great question. I think the fact that Mark acknowledged that, you know what, I probably could have done some things differently, not knowing what the results would be, acknowledging that maybe that should have been done differently, I think is a good start. Because, everybody was kind of winking and nudging at that time. And nobody had a real legitimate excuse. Nobody had a real legitimate answer because this was new to everyone. And just to acknowledge, hey, you know what? Looking back on this, probably should have done some things differently, but I didn't know. Because, again, this was so new to everyone, the pros and cons of what they were doing and accused of doing was something that we as a society just wasn't sure on how to deal with it. So, but to acknowledge, hey, looking back on it, probably should have done some things differently. Probably should have asked one more question. Probably should have done this or done that. And I want to apologize to people who took this thing in the wrong direction. So I'm good with it. I'm glad that people are stepping forward. Now there's some guys that would go to their grave and act as if they didn't do anything. And you know what? That's between them and their guy. I look at it where, what's the next step? Are these people Hall of Fame eligible as far as the Major League Hall of Fame? I think that's the question that comes up next. And I would say no, because of the fact that these things have been proven to enhance their performance. And we're taking guys who are, we're taking guys who did a lot of great things in the game, but they did it with some help that at that time was not considered legal. So, it's going to be an age-old debate. But the problem, I think, or the challenge that the voters are going to have, a lot of these guys are now legitimately eligible to go into the Hall of Fame. And I think what we're seeing, they're going to kick that can down the road and see what the Veterans Committee or the Senior Committee does as far as admitting some of those guys into the Hall of Fame after their time on the regular Hall of Fame list expires.
And so I understand all of that and that point of view. My question is, though, with all these owners and all their sanctimony and saying they want the players to apologize, they made a ton of money on all those home runs. And if you asked any one of those owners behind closed doors if you could take away the steroid era of baseball or not, would you do it? I feel like 100% of them would say no, because it made a lot of money for us.
Not to mention Bud Selig, who was the commissioner and knew it was going on and basically has been defiant ever since, that he owes no apology for that. And he knew it was happening, but it was bringing the sport back.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head, Chris. He, they felt like this saved the sport, and they did everything they could do in order to bring the sport back to an acceptable level where there was true fan interest. And, that's his job, is to run the game for the best interest of the game. And the best interest of the game at that point was getting fans engaged. So, again, we'll go, 100 years from now, we'll still have this conversation. I can promise you, because that was probably the most intriguing era in the world of baseball. When you think about it, it supersedes everything from, you know, the dead ball era to integration, you name it, this era that we just experienced was probably the most telling era that the game has ever seen.
And coming out of a work stoppage, and to have that happen a few years later, and the entire country, the world really, was paying attention. And every time any one of those guys, McGuire or Sosa, were up to the plate late
you
in the season, stop what you're doing.
Stop what you were doing.
And so did ESPN. They would go to the game and, like, let's cut in, let's watch these guys hit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was, they're probably, I can't imagine any time in our lifetimes anything else in baseball like that will happen, where the whole country is watching. Maybe, but I guess we'll find out.
Whatever it might be, I don't know what it's going to be. But, you know, but it goes back to why we're intrigued with sports. We are enamored with power and strength. Whether you're hitting a home run 500 feet, or you're shooting a hockey puck 110 miles an hour, or you're hitting a drive off the tee 300 plus yards, we are enamored with what people can do from a power standpoint. Power and scoring is what Americans thrive on. Last night I went to the hockey game, and I was sitting next to Lutz, the general manager for the our soccer team.
Lutz Pfannenstiel?
And we were sitting there, and we were talking about this very thing about scoring. And the fact that I said, listen, man, you know, people may think that a 1-0 game is exciting, but they're real soccer fans. I said, you can lose 5-4, and people will walk out and say, man, that was a lot of fun. Because scoring is where it's at. Power is where it's at. And we're talking about baseball, the fact that, you know, people will stop what they're doing to see how far a guy can hit a ball if he has that reputation. People will stop what they're doing to see how hard a guy can throw. If he can throw 103 miles an hour, they're going to be like, okay, I want to watch this guy. You know, the other things in the game are great, and you need to have those things, but those are the things that people are enamored with beyond anything else that any sport has to offer.
Klaibs, yesterday we learned right before the show started about the passing of Bob Uecker, who I think was the greatest personality in the history of the game. We talk about Yogi Berra, who had his one-liners, but Uke, man, he was everywhere, and a media star, and just, you know, on Carson a million times, and had his own sitcom, was in movies. So I know you got to know him a little bit.
Yeah. I got to know him. You know, his wife is from St. Louis, and whenever Milwaukee was in town, he would be at Norwood Hills Country Club during the day. And you go in and you see him. I know we have it at KMOX. The last time he was on KMOX, we did our Live from Shannon show.
Yeah, we played some of that yesterday.
And you know what? Matt Pauly said something to me yesterday. He said that might have been one of the greatest shows in my lifetime, in my career, which I'm coming up on 44 years next month. I've had a lot of things I've seen in my career and done, but that, to me, that night was one of the most epic nights I've ever had in my life, to listen to those two. And we'd been together before, but that particular night was just hilarious. And there's no script. There was no script with Bob. Everything was right out the top. And just an incredible gentleman, who was still a fan of the game. And you can ask anybody, and Matt Pauly will tell you, you know, Uke would stick around and be on the field and be in the clubhouse virtually every day. Not many broadcasters do that, but he was a guy that would do it, and he loved it. He loved being around the players, and he's seen everybody come through. And he was a friend to everyone. There's so many things that are going to be said about him over the next few days. I really hope that Major League Baseball dedicates 2025 season to Bob Uecker.
They absolutely should.
It.
Yeah. Mr. Baseball passed away yesterday. And what Klaibs is talking about, we did air a few minutes of that yesterday on the show, but you can go to KMOX.com and the entire conversation with you, with Klaibs, Mike Shannon, Bob Uecker, it is right there, and you can go back and listen to the whole thing. It's awesome. So that's on KMOX.com.
Also, I'll tell this story really quick, and I told it last night. Mike Shannon and I were one day talking about the day Bob Uecker was shagging fly balls during the World Series in '64.
With the tuba?
And so Mike, Yeah, with the tuba.
Yeah.
So Mike says, hey, I wonder if there's a, where can we get a tuba at? I'm going to get Euchre to sign it. So I said, well, there's a pawn shop right down by the brewery. So Mike calls a pawn shop, and we had a day game that day. And he calls, he said, hey, do you guys have a tuba? And he said, as a matter of fact, we do. He said, well, bring it to the ballpark. So he got him to bring the tuba to the ballpark. And as I was saying yesterday, trying to get a tuba through security at Busch Stadium is something that you normally don't see. So he waited until the seventh inning because Tim McCarver was doing the TV that day. And he got them both in the booth. And he breaks out this tuba. And there's some pictures I posted yesterday on Facebook. And I think Matt Pauley posted them as well. The look on Euchre's face and Tim McCarver's face when Mike presented Bob this tuba that he signed, and I don't know where it is. I'm sure Mike's wife may know where it is. But he signed the tuba. It wasn't the one from 64, but it was one. But that look on their faces, and I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be a party in heaven that's unlike anything God's ever seen with Shannon and Gibson and Euchre and McCarver and all those guys. They're having the time of their lives right now.
It really just an awesome baseball personality, an awesome just national personality. Everybody knew Bob Euchre, a household name, even if you weren't a big baseball fan. So enjoy winter warm up this weekend, Klabes. We appreciate you. We're glad that you got your mail, and we will talk to you next Friday.
I can't wait. I will be in Florida next Friday, so I'll tell you what the weather's like there.
Yeah. Oh.
Not the Arctic blast.
No.
We're getting here?
No.
Yeah, the polar vortex probably isn't hitting Florida, I guess.
Well, you know what? We've had a couple of chilly weekends there.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to put on a sweater one time.
Okay.
Because it was 62 degrees.
All right.
Okay, yeah, buddy.
Exactly. I had some chill glands that started to flare up. Yeah, you're right.
See you, Klabes.
Bye, Klabes.
All right, you guys take care.
Mike Claiborne on the broadcast team for the St. Louis Cardinals here on KMOX and the Odyssey app. Download it, put it on your phone. We do have Chiefs football tomorrow. It will be Mitch Holthus and Danan Hughes on the call. Their first playoff game, the divisional round, starts tomorrow, and we've got the games right here on KMOX. Chris and Amy show on KMOX. We're with you until 1 o'clock, and then really with you until 2, because at 1, the Dave Glover show and our crossover hour with them will happen between 1 and 2. You can reach the show in multiple ways, 314-436-7900 to call or text, leaving us a voice message on the Odyssey app, where you can listen to the show live and the podcasts are there. Or if you want to tweet at us, at Chris Amy KMOX. Same deal on Instagram. We are there as well. We were just talking about Bob Euchre, who passed away yesterday. Mr. Baseball, they call him. And Adam Wainwright, everybody knows Adam Wainwright here. He apparently at one point insisted that he wanted to call an inning or be up in the broadcast booth with Bob Euchre. And this happened a few years ago on the Milwaukee Brewers broadcast.
Nice to have you up here, Pro. We don't get this stuff happening to us too often, but...
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah,
I appreciate you allowing me to stand into the box next to you and between you, and just a surreal moment for me to sit next to a legend like you. Been here for 67 years, I know, and been doing an incredible job for a long, long time. Former Cardinal, great yourself.
Yes.
I've gotten to the age where, you know, you just got to soak up all this stuff. Right?
Yeah.
He called down today and he said, hey, you want to come up here and take a picture? I was, absolutely, that's the whole reason. And then I thought, you know, I'm missing an opportunity if I don't ask to call part of the game with him. And so I sat.
You asked him?
I asked him, absolutely.
He
was incredibly accommodating. I had so much fun. He told me I had to stay an extra half inning, which, what are you supposed to do? You got to say yes to when Mr. Euchre says you got to stay. You got to stay.
Thank you so much for having me, Mr.
Thank
Euchre.
You for coming
Appreciate
up.
It.
Quit calling me Mr. I told you that
Yes, sir, I will.
Time.
Yes, sir, Mr. Euchre.
Yeah, so that's Adam Wainwright. And Wainwright, by the way, is in his Cardinals uniform. He's got the warm-up, you know, the warm-up thing they put on over the jerseys, and he's got his hat on. He's in uniform. He just went up during the game and sat in with Euchre for a bit.
So in 2022, so that was before his final year where he did the old man walks. Remember when he did the old man stadium walks on all the road trips? Do you think this is highly unusual for a team to be cool with their guy in their team uniform to go to the opposing team's broadcast booth?
Nah, not really.
Really?
I don't know how many guys want to do that.
Right.
But no team's going to stop him. He's retiring. Everybody knows he's retiring. At the time, what are you going to do? Tell him no?
Would that...
And what are the team's not going to... The players in the dugout aren't going to care. The coaches aren't going to care. The manager's not going to care.
And obviously, Bob Uecker played for the Cardinals, so there is that tie. I would think that Adam Wainwright, likable guy anyway, but wouldn't that kind of endear him to the Brewers fans? I would be like, this is kind of cool.
I would think so.
Think of another player from, like, the Yankees. If Derek Jeter's like, man, I really want to sit up with Mike Shannon, you know, in the booth, and John Rooney. That would mean something to Cardinals fans, I think, because it would show, like, he gets it. He gets what Mike Shannon means.
Did you mention the Jack Daniels bottle, or you did?
No, James O'Sullivan did.
Yeah, so Wainwright on Twitter yesterday tweeted that exchange that we just played for you, and he also tweeted a photo of a bottle of Jack Daniels that Uecker had signed to give to him, so he has it in his collection. It's really cool.
Next to some other signed bottles.
Yeah, it looks like all to see
of
what,
the alcohol is
I
signed.
I would like to see. What, it looks like Adam Wainwright has a whole shelf
of signed
liquor.
I'm going to just sign my liquor bottles.
No one wants those.
Well, no, I mean from my shelf.
Oh, okay. Hey, there is a new show that is coming featuring the Ozarks again. It's called Ozark Law. It is a new TV series that is following police in the Lake of the Ozarks. And we're going to talk to Osage Beach Police Chief Todd Davis when we come back on KMOX.